Brandon Tierney and Sal Licata on WFAN The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the Free Odyssey app.
I cannot believe the overreaction from a 10-game road trip. Like, there are things about the Mets' performance over these 10 games that I'm going to get into and rip them to shreds about. But overall, big picture, this feel that, oh, the Mets have shown their true colors or that the Mets are done, couldn't be further from the truth. I mean, give me a break. They're a half game back. They basically haven't lost any ground in the standings whatsoever. Even in the division, they're just 8 games back of the Phillies, BT. So as bad as it may seem, as bad as it may seem with the, you know, 10-game road trip, can we fade the damn music out? I mean, what's going on? I'm getting distracted here. My first day back, don't play that music. Come on.
I mean, geez.
You see me waving him down? He's talking to Minko.
He was talking to Mink. Come on, Dove, do your job.
We wanted 6-4, BT,
yeah.
Obviously.
Yep, I would have talked about that.
I would have taken 5-5.
Yep.
You know, they gave one away in the Angel Series. You want to win one there. Obviously, you'd like to not get swept and embarrassed by the Mariners, and you saw great disparity. 4-6, not good. However, they're still fine. They're right there in the thick of things.
I mean, they definitely are. Listen, I don't think the Mets are a playoff team. I've said that. I've said that for a while now. I think they're going to fall a little short. I don't think that that's, you know, I'm not saying that because of what transpired over the weekend, although when you score one run, that's obviously going to amplify the fears of the Mets fans who are, you know, beginning to overreact maybe in some cases. I just think that the Mets are a solid team. Mets are a resilient team, but the Mets have too many holes for me to win this race over 162. And that's not a crime because this is supposed to be a transitional year. Now, sometimes during transitional years, you overachieve and you kind of, you know, you hasten the development and the rebuild. Like the Knicks have done that, obviously, with Tom Thibodeau now for a couple of years. You overachieve and then, boom, you're on the tarmac to who knows what. And maybe that's what happens with the Mets moving forward here. But when your best players don't play well, you have no chance.
Think about this, though. The Mets are right now kind of where everybody expected them to be. I'm not talking about preseason or 11 games under, but for the most part, even at their peak, and I know some of us, and myself included, started to get carried away and started talking about the top wild card spot. The difference is, when they were chasing that top wild card spot, Atlanta was the top team. Well, now you've seen the Diamondbacks and the Padres start to take off.
Yep.
Those two teams are on a different level. Not to say that they can't be beat. Anybody can be beat, as we've seen. But those two teams are gone. Like, the Mets aren't catching them. However, they're right there with the Braves. And who else are they competing with? The Cardinals? They already beat the Cardinals on the road trip. They can beat the Cardinals.
Mm-hmm.
Giants, Cubs. I'm not scared of any of those teams.
You shouldn't be, but there's some of those teams that start to play well. I think the Cubs have won 8 out of 10. Like, the Cubs are playing well. I'm not saying you should be afraid of them and that they're beyond reproach, but I think it's a little short-sighted to just look at the Braves. There are a couple of teams behind you that are coming.
Yeah, but you can't look in the rearview mirror. You got to look in front of them. And if the Mets play their bait, look, if they get caught by the teams behind them, that means the Mets are really struggling. Right now, you got to focus on being as good or better, certainly better than Atlanta, where you're half game back of the Braves right now, and then everybody else that's behind you, like, they're right there. I don't think that there's anything the Mets can do over the next few weeks. Now, if they lose at home to these crappy teams, that's going to be a different story here. Mm-hmm. But right now, they're in the thick of things for a wild card spot. Doesn't have to be the top wild card spot.
Yep.
Go catch the Braves. To me, that's what it's about right now. It's about the Mets and Braves. And it was about that once, you know, the Mets jumped over all these teams and had the Braves in you know, front and center right there. Obviously, they've come back down to the pack. As we mentioned, the Diamondbacks and Padres leapfrogged them. Atlanta had some horrific losses over the course of the last week. If the Mets had that, we'd be saying, oh my God, put a fork in them. So, like, the Mets can easily still be a postseason.
No, they could be. Listen, you said that the teams that they have coming up next here, right? And to me, this is what will define the season.
Yeah.
I really believe this. Those two bad teams are 3 with the A's at Citi Field starting tomorrow, off day today, obviously. And then 3 with the Marlins, who have already, you know, they're not good. And whatever great players or really good players they had, they've pretty much sent them all packing. So, to me, while, listen, if the Mets would have come back 2-8 from this road trip or 1-9 or even 3-7, I think it would feel darker than it does. Again, I don't think that they're a playoff team, but I have said that now for about a month or so. I do not think that they'll get there. But I'll tell you this, if they don't win, like if they don't go at least 4-2 or 5-1 against the A's and the Marlins, we're going to circle those 6 games and say that's where they lost that third wild card spot. They've got to dominate these
teams. You think the Braves are a playoff team?
I have more fit now. All right, before I answer right. that, the way they've looked, the answer is no.
Right. But, pedigree, sure.
You know, yeah, that yeah, and I don't want to lean on that too much because we got, you know, tricked for years. Oh, the Yankees are always going to win because of the Yankees. Well, no, eventually that evaporates. Sometimes you're not quite the same team, and I'm not so sure that the Braves are the same team. I'm going to give you that. Do I think the Braves are better than the Mets in totality? I do. I think they've got more marquee players. I think they just have they have more elite players than the Mets.
Yeah, but based on what
that's
they've done, based on what they've done this year, they haven't been.
It's still close though. Because yeah. Matt Olson's been a disaster, yeah. and Pete Alonso has not been very good. But Pete's been better than Matt Olson.
I'm just talking about overall. There's a half game separating the two.
No, but still, the Braves stars yeah. like their stars have been better than Nimmo. Right. For the most part, their stars have been better than Pete outside of the first base to first right. base comparison. Like they still have, I think more. Elite or borderline elite players than the Mets do.
I guess the point is, if I ask you, do you think Arizona's a more legitimate team?
I do.
Yeah, me too.
Has not had a good season. He's starting to come around now, Corbin Carroll. Played well.
If I ask you, do you think the Padres are more legitimate?
No question.
Me too. But then there's everybody else, and that's the beauty of the third wild card. And that, BT, is why the Mets themselves and other people who believed that the Mets could be a playoff team were saying they could because of the third wild card. That's why. These other teams hit their stride now. They're playing well, and they're separating themselves. By the way, the Phillies stink. The Phillies for a top team, I don't care what their record is. The Phillies have been bad for like 3 months
here. They played poorly.
And if the Mets had any guts or any kind of legitimate talent, like if Pete Alonso did anything or Brandon Nimmo was playing like he thought he was an all-star, if he kept playing that, the Mets would be closing in on the division here. Mm. As much as they faltered and looked awful, they're 8 games back. That is still a winnable division.
But doesn't that
be 5 or 6.
But doesn't that tell you all, like, to me, that tells me all that I need to know.
About them?
Yeah, like when the door's open, for a week, when the door's open for 5 weeks and you fail to kick it in.
Well, correct.
I mean, you know, you didn't kick it in because you probably don't have the requisite pieces to kick it in.
Correct, and then they didn't do enough of the trade deadline
to
take themselves. You know, I said go all in because everything was there for the taking. They did not, and now they're getting it. Like Stanek, how's he been? I mean, come on. Jesse Winker, how's he been? I mean, think about what you
added. Batted fourth yesterday, didn't he?
Yeah, he's hitting
clean. Batted fourth.
Guys get nothing but singles since he's been here and barely even that. So they went small at the deadline, and the results have shown that. Good for them. That's what they wanted. This team, I guess the biggest point is this team was built to do exactly what they're doing. Being a team that's on the fringe of a final spot in the wild card race in the National League. So because they went 4-6, it's not the end of the world. Now, you saw the disparity of a real team with real pitching and clutch hitting with the Mariners versus what the Mets are. That's the biggest difference. Like, to me, if you ask me where my difference is from where we left you when we went on vacation, you know, 10 days ago, whatever it was, or the start of this West Coast trip, and now, it's that I had hoped that the Mets could make a run, as unlikely as it may be, catch the Phillies who were coming back.
Yeah,
in the back,
you were saying
stay
that.
Hot. If they stayed hot, they could have caught them.
Yep.
Well, now that dream is dead. It's still realistic mathematically. It's not realistic because the Mets just aren't good enough.
Well, I got a question for you before we get to these calls. Obviously, Met fans will get you in here. We'll do everything today because we have a lot of catching up to do. BT and Sal and all the fans. So you are you're interesting to me because I think it's very pragmatic,
right?
And I think it's a very even keeled approach by you. I think that you're certainly within reason in terms of what they could get with the third wild card. You're not, even though you pissed at Nimmo, and I know you'll unleash on him later.
And Alonso. And Stern.
And you know, Sal's going to still be Sal and let it rip, and that's why we love you. But I think that you're very sensible today. I do. I think that your instincts are spot on with most of these Met issues, but I do have to ask you this. Given whatever the apex of the Mets season was, whatever that delineation or demarcation was in your mind and others, walk-off hits, whatever it might have been, where they've gone since, even though you're even keeled, you've got to be disappointed.
I think they're treading water. So, now, remember, you know me. Like, I always want more. I expect more. But this is by design. So I have to take a step back and say, okay, well, I wanted more from the start of the season. I wanted more in season. I certainly wanted more at the deadline. They didn't do it. I also didn't believe in the core. And if you look at who's struggling right now, Alonso and Nimmo, two big pieces of the core. Alonso hasn't had a good year. And I didn't even get a chance to talk about his comments last week. I saw you kind of defend it or whatever. But there's Alonso's season, which is a problem.
Mm-hmm.
Nimmo's season, which is a problem, not just because of the impact it's had on the team's offense since the All-Star break, but more so for the future.
I know.
Like, this is who Brandon Nimmo is. That's a problem.
I don't know if he's a 230 hitter. I'm going to give him a little bit more than that.
Inconsistent is what he is. That's my point.
Okay.
So what is Brandon Nimmo? Is he an all-star? Is he a 230 hitter?
You know what I think he is?
He's a guy who's been inconsistent his whole career.
You know what I think he is? I think he's morphed into he's going to have to settle this. I think he's morphed into not knowing if he wants to be a power hitter because he stepped on some last year, and I think that kind of changed his mindset and altered his approach, which is not good. I think he's the kind of player who should be a high doubles guy, hit you 275, 280, and, you know, hammer, you know, 19 to 23 home runs almost unexpectedly, where he just catches one perfect. But I think he's been chasing home runs, and he's melted.
If Nimmo has been the player that they are paying him to be or thought he would be, and was for a period of time earlier in the season. If Alonso was the player that everybody believed he was, especially in his walk year, he was supposed to have a big year, the Mets would be contending for the division.
Yes.
So as much as they were built to not win the division or to not be a legitimate threat, they could have been that if Nimmo and Alonso lived up to their expectations. But those guys have not. Now, again, everything's still there in front of them, but the Mets cannot be taken seriously as far as the division goes. Wild card, though, is a different story, BT, because it's there for the taking because of the pathetic nature of the sport where they let everybody in.
Mm-hmm.
The third wild card allows teams that are mediocre, and that's what the Mets are. They've done a nice job. They're an average team. And a 4-6 West Coast trip, not awful. They're not going to bury them. But I think where fans get discouraged if they see the Mets score a run in three games against Seattle, and they got trounced.
I mean, that's embarrassing. We can sit here and say that they're still there, and they are, and, you know, this and that. But you score one run. I don't care. I don't care if you're the White Sox.
Yeah.
You score one run in three games. That's pathetic. Like, that's disgraceful.
Seattle's got good pitching.
I understand. Is Randy Johnson pitching?
Yeah, I know. Scratch off a couple.
I know they're good, but geez, you scored one run.
I'm with you. That was a pathetic showing. But it's just one series. And again, they were not really built to contend with teams like that. 888-808-1019 is the number to call. Friends of Town Fair Tire remind you that at Town Fair Tire, you always get the guaranteed lowest price on name brand tires from Connecticut to Maine. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. Joe is in Clark. I'm sure this will be good. Joe?
What's up, guys? Welcome back from the vacation, Sal.
Thank you.
A couple things, guys. BT, I called you last week and I told you I don't trust this offense. I don't trust it. And they've gone into a collective swamp. And I was just looking at J.D. Martinez's numbers. He has 12 homers and 50 RBIs in like 80 less at-bats than last year. Last year he had 33 homers, 107 RBIs in 110 games. I mean, it's mind-boggling what he's been doing. Except for a six-week stretch, he's done nothing. We know what Alonso is. Nimmo is 5-for-75 now. Alvarez, I mean, I know you guys love Alvarez. I'm sorry, but right now he's like the third worst catcher as far as power in baseball. I mean, Higashioka has 16 home runs. He has 4 or 5 home runs. What happened to his power?
He's been awful. He's been banged up. And thanks for the call, Joe. And with all that being said, and again, you can pick on the individual performances, and we have to a certain extent. Maybe they'll do a little bit more later on. They're still right there. Like, if the Mets go out there and wipe the floor with the Marlins and A's, or A's then Marlins, you'll feel good about it again. They're right there for the taking. And look at you. It's easy to sit here and just focus on what we watch, whether it's the Mets, whether it's the Yankees. But look at what's going on elsewhere.
Yeah.
The Braves had horrific losses to the crappy Colorado Rockies. Like, what the Braves did against the Rockies is way worse. Blowing a 8-2 lead in the eighth inning, that's way worse than the Mets getting trounced by a very good Seattle Mariners team to me.
I don't really disagree with that. We do fixate on our own. And
that's what we should do.
Yeah, right, so right. That's what we care about. That's what we get paid to do, obviously. Right. But you look around the NL, the American League's a little different, but pertaining to the Mets, you're right. I mean, the Phillies have lost 6 of 10. The Braves have lost 7 of 10. The Mets have lost 6 of 10. The Cardinals aren't playing particularly well. They're in the hunt. You know, they've lost 6 out of 10 here. The Cubbies have won 8 of 10. That's why I said I wouldn't overlook them entirely. But then you get to the West, and this is where it gets complicated. Obviously, the Dodgers are, they got a healthy lead there, but the Diamondbacks have won 8 of 10. The Padres have won 8 of 10. The Giants have won 7 of 10 here. So to me, see, it's not just the Mets and the Braves. I would incorporate the Giants, I would incorporate the Cubs, and I would keep the Cardinals. Like, to me, those are the four, in addition to the Mets, one of those four teams is getting that third wild card.
Right.
And I don't think it's going to be the Mets. Like, I think that there's some other teams that are just better, that are playing better now, and seemingly are built to just finish up these final 45 games better.
Well, playing better now does not mean they're going to be playing better in a few weeks from now.
But it does if you think they have better players, which I do. Well, like, I certainly, the Diamondbacks, the Padres, the talent's not even comparable.
No, Braves,
I think the Cubs' talent is close.
Braves, Mets, Cardinals, Giants, Cubs. Mm-hmm. You want to put the Cubs in, they're not even 500.
No, I understand that.
I mean,
they're a game below 500. Right. They won 8 out of 10. They won 4 straight.
Okay.
You know, I mean, what does it mean? It might mean nothing if the Mets go 5-1 against the A's and the Marlins, but if the Mets go 2-4 and the Cubbies keep playing well, like, I'm just saying this, Sal. This is not doom and gloom. Mets have a puncher's chance. I don't think they're built for it, but they got a chance to get there. All I'm saying is there are other teams coming. And while the Mets have started to trip a little bit and show what I think is maybe more their true self, other teams are starting to flex a little bit. That would worry me. That's all I'm saying.
I think right now, I think you hit on it earlier, where this is now. We talked about this could be a season-defining West Coast trip. Well, it really wasn't because there was no blood drawn.
Yeah.
Like, if they went 6-4, you would have said, okay, here we go.
Yep.
Pedal to the metal, let's make a run. If they go 5-5, if they go 4-6, disappointing, but still, there's no blood drawn. Now, if they went worse than that, 3-7, 2-8, now you're talking about season over, put a fork in them. That did not happen. So, all right, 10 games, difficult games, it happens. Now you got a softer landing spot here coming back home. Lindor talked about it after the game yesterday. They need to keep the vibes high, what got them here to this point. They need to keep that good feeling, even in spite of getting embarrassed, especially on Sunday Night Baseball, national TV, mm-hmm. to get swept out of Seattle. But they need to keep the positive vibes amongst that group, which has been their calling card this year. That's why they've had some success. If they don't do that at home against the A's and Marlins, then I think you could start to say, well, this team is now in trouble and maybe can... you could start to feel them letting their season slip away and reverting to what we thought coming into the year would be their norm. But BT, they've proven it every step of the way.
Yep.
They've earned this. This is not just me waving the pom-poms. You know, I wouldn't do that. They've earned this because every single time they've been hit with major adversity, they've bounced back. The team was 11 games under 500. They dug out. They started the year 0-5. They dug out. Diaz gets suspended. They dug out. Guys underperform. Guys get hurt. They've dug out of it. So just because they go 4-6 on a difficult West Coast trip, I'm expecting them to dig out of it and maintain their hold on being one of the wild card teams.
I'm going to stop short of that, but I'll join you up until them getting the last wild card. I don't think the implosion's coming. I don't think that. I don't feel that. I don't think that. And I think that's important, the way you laid out about what they've earned in terms of how we perceive them. Like, if the Mets would have started the exact opposite. Instead of being horrendous, they were, 13-4, and they jumped out to this good lead. But really, since then, the last 90 games or whatever it equates to, they've been languishing and playing really poor baseball. To me, that would be less reflective of a team that's got the ability to bounce back. They jumped out quickly, and then they've been tripped up for 3 months, and they've done nothing about it. The fact that the Mets started so poorly, were able to regenerate, they peaked a little bit, they fell back down, they regenerated, they peaked, they picked themselves back up. That speaks to, I think, Mendoza, the growing culture, and all good things. Again, I think their talent is short to be a playoff team, and even if they get it, I don't think they'll do anything when they get there. But I'm not writing them off because of the resilience they've shown so far. I think that that's fair. And I think even whether you're a Yankee lover who hates the Mets or a Mets mm-hmm. self-loathing fan, I think if you sell this team short in terms of heart, I think that that's absolutely wrong.
And that's the biggest point. They're not going away. They may not make the postseason, to your point. They're not going away. They've earned that. They've fought every part of this season. This is nothing. A little blip in the road here, 4-6 on a 10-game West Coast trip. Now, though, they have to bury the A's and Marlins.
Stuck in traffic and need to vent? Dial the Fan. 888-808-1019. Powered by Paramount Plus. Stream the NFL on CBS live on Paramount Plus.
BT and Sal back on the Fan. Brandon Tierney, Sal Licata, 888-808-1019 is the number to call. We mentioned Nimmo and Alonso, BT.
Mm-hmm.
I've had long-term concerns about both those guys. We talked about it earlier in the year, and then Nimmo, of course, made us or me look foolish when I'm talking about both you and I have a conversation. Maybe he'd be better off as being a six hitter. Like, mm-hmm. Nimmo could be a good offensive player if he's not one of the guys on a team.
Yeah, I remember that.
And then he started going off, yep. And then he started, you know, performing like an all-star, and he was upset that he didn't make the all-star team. And then since not being named an all-star, he's hitting, I think, .153. Like, he hasn't gotten a hit. So what is Brandon Nimmo exactly? And the problem that I have, forget about this year because it's much bigger than this. The Mets were not designed to do anything of significance this year. They've given us a season, which has been fun. They still have an opportunity to make the playoffs. But what is Brandon Nimmo as a player, and how does that impact what the Mets do moving forward? Because is he a key part of this core? I think he's got to be because of the contract.
Yeah.
But how do you rely on the production from him? What production do you rely on from Brandon Nimmo?
Well, the first thing that shouldn't matter is the contract, because then otherwise everything that's been said about Steve Cohen has not been as accurate. Like, if you can't absorb, and I'm not saying it's a bad contract right. yet, although the length of it, even in real time, I'm like, what are you doing? I mean, that's a little lengthy for Brandon Nimmo, who I like, but I don't think he's
special.
That's
what the market called for.
Yeah, I know. He's from Wyoming, right? Yeah, the Dakotas, and obviously the Rockies were interested. So listen, you got to do business, and that was the cost of business with Brandon Nimmo. I get that, but I don't think it's like some massive financial impediment here or hindrance. He's only making $20 million a year through 2030. Now, through 2030, that's still some meat on the bone, but it's not like it's a Stanton 32.5 or 34.
No, it's not going to cripple the team.
It's not incredibly burdensome. I think he's going to have to get in the laboratory again this winter and determine what kind of player he wants to be. If he wants to be a 30-home run guy, he's going to be a .235 hitter.
Well, what do you think he is?
I think he's I think at his ideal baseball being, Brandon Nimmo is a high-on-base guy who's going to hit 30 doubles, 20 home runs, and on a World Series team, be a six hitter, maybe a seven hitter.
So you wouldn't have him.
I mean, on this Mets team, that's where he still belongs, yeah. Even though his numbers don't validate it now. But he's still, like, for this team, he's still two. But I think as the Mets get better and really eventually build out and have a championship contender, I don't think he's a one, two, or three guy. No,
like,
way.
Worse to me than them losing or not playing as well for an extended period. You know, the offense has not been the same. I think even predating the All-Star break. I forget the exact metrics or when it started, but their offense has not been the same pre-All-Star break. To me, worse than losing or worse than not making the postseason is not knowing what Brandon Nimmo is at this point. Like, that's a major problem. If Nimmo were hitting .280 and, you know, on pace for 25 home runs, the way that he was going into the All-Star break, if he were doing that, at least you could say, all right, they got Lindor, they got Nimmo. Now at least that's
Vientos.
Yeah, I know. Without Vientos, I mean, he's been a major part of this team. At least with him, he's been consistent. Now, is it going to be year to year? We've seen the sport. Who the hell knows anymore?
I know.
With Major League Baseball, with the inconsistency. But the fact that you can't even hang your hat on, all right, we got a piece in Nimmo who's going to be an impact bat. Now he's turned the corner the way that Daniel Murphy did in 2015 in the postseason and then afterward with the Nationals and whatever. Like, I felt like maybe that was it for Nimmo, but he's reverted back to even worse than he was before.
The problem with the Mets here, right, and it's not that they can't solve this a little bit more during the offseason. They could, especially if you guys get Soto, which, by the way, you won't.
Yeah.
I know, you still think you get my... I mean, if you get Soto, that changes everything, or at least speeds everything up. I think my greatest concern, looking at this team, forget about the pitching for a moment, though, that's a big thing. Because Alvarez, and I really do like him, but because he has not taken a step forward, he's taken a step back, I've got to at least tap the brakes a bit on him being a superstar. Right. I just have to react to what I've seen.
Yeah.
You know, so I'm going to put him in a separate file. But again, I'm a fan. So you look at, all right, where are the other great assets? Well, Martinez is older, won't be here in all probability. There's a good chance Pete's not here. If Pete is here, it's a 2 or 3 year deal in all probability. You know, and their best player is Lindor, okay? Mm-hmm. And Lindor is a really good player. But even that's not perfect because he's not young. He's not old, but he's not young for the position that he plays in the middle of the diamond. And he's always a horrific starter, you know, to start season. So even your best player comes with not baggage, but a little like, you know, like there's nothing that you can say. You cannot look at a current Met and say, absolute superstar, middle of his prime, no doubt about it. The next 7-10 years, it's going to be amazing.
Yeah.
You can't say that
nothing
yet.
Nothing in the rotation.
No. No.
Those to me are bigger issues than potentially missing out on the postseason or going 4-6 on the West Coast trip. All right, Tony is in the Bronx. What's up, Tony?
Hey, what's going on, guys? How you doing?
How are you, Tony?
Good to hear you guys. Good to hear you guys back together again, man. I love it.
Thank you.
Good show as always. Listen, Sal, I had to drop in on you. I do, man. All the ripping you do on my squad. I got to tell you, we sat down last night. My kids' godparents came over. We had a nice supper. Delicious. It was beautiful. And we throw on a Mets game, and that's what we got from your team. You know, your team is a total washout.
Well,
okay.
They're not my team.
You're worse than any major level. Hold up. Don't interrupt.
No.
Okay?
They're not my team. Just get the facts straight. I don't own the team. They'd be different decisions had I owned the team. Now, unfortunately, I don't have that much money, so I can't own the team. They're not my team.
There you go, Sal. There you go again, as always. All right, but that's
well,
not just
go again with the I don't understand.
I made the call, Sal. I made the call. Can I just give my 2 cents
can
in before I jump
some
off
sense
and you
with
drop
those
the hammer
cents?
On
go
me?
Go ahead.
You're gonna drop the hammer on me, but I'm gonna. Can I get my 2 cents
go ahead,
in?
Go ahead.
So listen. Okay. All right. And so thank you. I appreciate it. But listen, your team is a washout. You're not gonna make the postseason. I don't know why you keep talking about your wild card. You're gonna make the wild card because you're not gonna make the wild card. Your team is a disgrace. It's a washout. Okay.
Okay. That's thank you for the call, Tony. We appreciate you checking in. A couple of facts here that Tony needs to understand. Number one, it's not my team. So I am not in the running for a wild card spot. I do not own the team. The Mets do. We're talking about the Mets. The reason why we're talking about the Mets in a possible wild card spot is because they're a half game back. So I'm not sure what you're missing here. Were they embarrassing against Seattle? Absolutely. Like, you don't need me to tell you that. You saw it yourself. But this has nothing to do. Tony's a big Yankee fan.
Mm-hmm.
But the Yankees are held to a different standard. So when we critique the Yankees, it's held to a World Series standard. The Mets were not expected to do anything this year. By design, they lowered the expectations, and they're living up to those lowered expectations and somewhat, in some ways, exceeding them, especially after the way that they started. But I'm not sure what you're missing, Tony. Was your point to say the Mets suck and the Yankees are great? Like, who's denying that at this point? Although I will point out that when they played head-to-head, the Mets did sweep them 4 straight games. You watched those games with your family, didn't you? Did you sit down at dinner and watch those games? good to be back, BT.
Tony trying to stir the pot a little bit. Get feisty sound on the scene here.
No,
interesting.
But, wasn't that like a...
Yeah, no, he was stirring. He was reaching. He was poking.
Pushing the Met fan buttons.
He was poking. Also has an odd Boston, like, park, a wild card. Where was that coming from?
We've met Tony and his wife out at Yankee Stadium when we did that show.
That's right. And he's from here, though.
I know, he did.
Why is he saying cod, wild card? What are you doing, dude?
I did notice that Boston accent.
It was weird.
This is not a Met Yankee thing. We'll get to the Yankees in a little bit, and we do want to talk about some football as well. This is a Met thing because they came. Oh, look, Yankees are rolling right along and looking like the machine that they are.
Yeah, I don't know if they look machine like. Not at home, they don't. They look good. The machine's a little strong.
They'll be tested against the best of the best in the postseason, and they have the best of the best with Judge and Soto. But anyway, it's not about the Yankees right now. It's about the Mets. They're in a wild card spot or a half game out. That's what we're talking about. Joe is calling from Peekskill. What's up, Joe? Joe. All right, Ray is in Waterbury, Connecticut. Ray?
Hi, guys. Great show, as usual.
Thanks, Ray. What's
up,
Ray?
Here's the whole thing. As bad as it went this road trip, one half game out, and we're coming home. And you know what? You know what? I'm not worried about playing Philadelphia and the Braves at the end of the year. We usually play Philadelphia good. And you know what? The Braves. Well, look what the Braves did yesterday. They blew an 8-2 lead.
Yep.
What makes them any better?
Ray, I have a question for it. I think this is a really important one. So you're right. When you incorporate the circumstances, the way the Braves are playing, and the fact that you're right there, there's no doubt that the Mets have a chance to be a playoff team. Okay. Yeah. You know, you talk about though the Braves blowing the lead, and my question for you, and by extension Sal, and all Met fans who think that they still that they're going to get there, although Sal's not quite as committed as you seem to be, without writing them off. When you look at the Mets, don't point to the other things that the other teams don't do well. What do you believe in with this Mets team? Like, you can tell me the Mets will make the playoffs because this guy will do that. Who is it, and identify what they're going to do?
Okay, BT. Who had the most runs and who had the best record from June 7th from June 7th to the middle of July?
The Mets. The Mets were very good.
All right. There's my answer to that.
Well, right. But okay, but then what happened this weekend?
It's a short. Hold on, BT.
Good.
If that's this week. Don't you think that was a long enough sample size to show you something with all the runs they scored?
You're not going to like my answer, and I'm honestly not trolling with people think I am. I don't know what to tell you. I don't think that was a true representation of who they are. Even average teams or slightly above average can overachieve and play, you know, a 700 clip and, you know, put the stats on their ass for a month or so. Conversely, you could be a bad team and or good team and like the Yankees. Not that the Yankees are great. The Yankees were awful for 5 weeks. Is that really who the Yankees? They're not that team. So I never thought it was the truest indication of who the Mets were or could ultimately be. I could be wrong. But, like, I asked that question because – all right, hey, the Mets are going to go to the wild card because Pete Alonso is going to do this. Or Nimmo,
those are the answers.
Yeah, that's
it.
But people are reluctant to do that because they don't really truly believe that.
Correct. So I was having this debate or in my own mind last night, you know, starting to get back in the mode, doing a hit for SMY and then thinking about the show today. Because you're right, I'm not as committed on this team being a playoff team. When all's said and done, I don't know if it's me wanting to believe that that's the case. I still think because Atlanta is not good this year, or not as good, that they're right for the picking. Now, maybe you're right. Maybe somebody else can come up from behind and leapfrog both of the Mets and the Braves if I'm not paying attention to the Cubs or Giants or whoever.
Cubs have won 8 of 10, Giants 7 of 10.
If you are to make the answer to why you would believe in the Mets is because of the offense. That's the only answer, because not the starting pitching.
Mm-hmm.
It's certainly not the bullpen. It would be the offense. That's how they got to this point, with the offense being what it was, as Ray talked about, from June 7th on or whatever, right before the All-Star break. Do I believe that they will pick it back up? And I hesitate to go all in because a part of me truly doesn't believe. Like, it's August, what is it, August 10th? August 11th?
I think it's 12th.
August 12th. Pete Alonso was still not gotten going.
No.
When we last left, I thought he started to show signs that he was going to maybe go on a heater, and then he didn't. And they need him. Like, their offense has been terrific without him, but now that they're starting to level out a little bit.
J.D. Martinez others.
Exactly.
Iglesias.
Albert, whoever. Right,
yeah.
Exactly. Nimmo, obviously.
Yeah.
That's where you needed Pete now to pick it up and kick it into gear and carry them for a couple of weeks until maybe somebody else gets hot. He didn't do it. So, do I believe that on August 12th, all of a sudden, Pete is going to wake up and find it this year? I don't. I'm sorry, I don't. I gave him the opportunities. This is going to be the time, and this is going to be the time, and this is going to... It's almost over. Like, it's now or never. We said that 10 days ago. It's looking like it's never. Now, the trick, BT, is that it could happen because he's done it before.
Yep.
It's not like he's never done it before, but this year looks to be a lost season for Alonso. If that's the case, the only way the Mets make a postseason run is if Brandon Nimmo starts to do what he did before the All-Star break to get them back in the thick of things. Is that going to be the case? It's possible. Do I believe that he's going to get it going? I'll put it this way. I have more faith that Nimmo will get hot and potentially carry the team for a couple of weeks at this point than I do Alonso.
I think I agree with that. I think I agree with that. I think Pete's over his head.
Yeah, it's over.
Contract
for him this year.
Boris. I think he's tied his brain into it. Like, he's just corkscrewed himself.
But that has to be the answer. It's a great question.
Yeah, I'm curious.
What's their identity? It was their offense.
When you take any struggling team, you know, even when the Yankees were scuffling, like, all right, well, who's going to lift them out of it? You say Judge and Soto. Now, you could have been wrong, but at least there's a quick answer. Like, I feel like too many of the answers to the question that I pose about the Mets, there's too many contingencies with it. Like, you know, like, if this happens and that, and that's why, you know, my belief, not my respect for the Mets, I do respect them this year, but my belief in the Mets' ability to be a playoff team is not nearly as strong as others.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
Testaverde will take the snap, go to one knee. This game is over. The Jets lock up their first playoff appearance since 1991 on a 21-16 victory over the Miami Dolphins.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the Free Odyssey app.
It is time for the Wendy's Yankees turning point of the game contest. Wendy's, the official hamburger of the New York Yankees. Be the first caller to correctly identify yesterday's turning point of the game at 866-540-WFAN. That's 866-540-9326. And you'll receive two pairs of tickets to a Yankee 2024 regular season game. It's all from your flagship station for New York Yankees baseball, The Fan. All right, BT, so if the Mets, we'll get to the Yankees in a little bit. I want to definitely get into some football here.
Mm-hmm.
If the Mets do not overtake the Braves, I know you're saying it's more than just the Braves, but for now, you can't look behind you. I mean, they got to look in front of them. Braves are a half game in front of the Mets right now.
Yep.
If the Mets are not at least two games in front of them come next Monday a week, then I think I'd give up on a postseason spot, or at least catching the Braves. So the Mets have, starting tomorrow, three with the A's at Citi Field, three with the Marlins. The Braves in San Francisco starting tonight for four.
Okay. That's a tough spot. And then three
in Anaheim against the Angels,
who have given everybody a little trouble here lately. Little Mets, little Yankees.
So the West Coast, the dreaded West Coast trip. Mets just got off of their first one. They have another one, I think, in a couple of weeks.
But the
Braves, who were struggling against the Rockies, four with the Giants. And by the way, this is where the Mets, like, they really need to go 5-1 minimum over these six games, because then you pick up games on either Atlanta or San Francisco, or potentially both. But those two teams beating each other or playing each other for four games is going to help the Mets. And then, like I said, with the Angels. So what do you think here? Like, give me what you think the Mets would go over the next six against the A's and Marlins.
I think they'll go 4-2.
Ooh, that's not good enough.
I think they'll go 4-2. I really think the season is right after that. You look at this, and I know we're kind of jumping around with a lot of teams,
but this is
important to me. Like, if you can't beat the A's and the Marlins at least four out of six times at home after coming off a rough run, what are we doing here?
Yeah, no, we're not.
I'll tell you what we're doing.
Yankees and football. That's what we're doing.
That's true. That it's just the Mets. We're kind of suspending the reality for a little bit. But after the six games here, so they've got three with Baltimore. Then they've got four at San Diego.
The three of Baltimore where?
City.
Okay.
And then four at San Diego and three at Arizona. So,
ooh.
I mean, you're talking about I know the Orioles aren't playing great lately, but their talent base is very high. You got the Orioles for three, San Diego for four, and the Diamondbacks for three.
That's the season. That could be the nail on the coffin.
That's the season. Wow. I don't want to quite put it that way, Sal. But,
well, it could be. So,
it could be.
I'm going to say the Mets are going to go 5-1.
Or it could spur them to heights that nobody saw coming.
Yeah.
I mean, one thing I'm not going to do is I'm not going to take an empty shot at these Mets, because they deserve better.
Well, and that's kind of the way that I started the show, by saying that they've earned the right to, you know, be given the benefit of the doubt as far as being resilient and fighting. 4-6 is nothing. Like, they'll be fine. They're right there.
It happens to everybody.
So before we get to that rough stretch, let's just focus on these six games here. You said 4-2. Look, who cares about the prediction here? But they need to go 5-1. That to me is what, if the Mets want to be a playoff team, they need to go 5-1 against the A's and the Marlins. And I do think they bounce back. So let's just say that they go 5-1 here. What do you think the Braves do in San Fran for four and then against
the
Angels?
Probably split. It's an interesting ballpark.
And then what about the Angels?
Angels are a tough team to read. I don't think they're very
good.
Braves get two of three,
or they get one?
Yeah, I mean, Braves don't look good enough to anoint them two out of three anywhere right now, quite frankly. I mean, two out of three either way, flip a coin. Braves can win two. Nobody's getting swept.
So let's say worst case for Mets or best case for Braves, the Braves go 4-3.
Okay.
Over that.
Okay.
And the Mets go 5-1. They're still going to be in front of them.
Yeah.
I mean, and that's kind of what you need now. That wouldn't be, I'd rather Mets go 5-1, Braves go 3-4, and now you're talking about a little cushion in front of the Braves.
I hear you. All I know is, you know, you end up with Milwaukee, you end up with Atlanta in the penultimate series, the series before that, mid-ish late September, four with Philly.
I know, but there's a long way to go.
I know, but I'm just saying, like, that's in reality, I know we fixate on what happened out west and these next six games against bad teams, but I think the Mets team, I don't think they're good enough at all to get any sort of separation.
Right.
And I don't think that they're, I believe that they're tough enough to avoid complete implosion. So the reality is those final 10 games against pretty good teams probably determine everything.
But if you do break it down into sections, if before we can worry about the Padres and Diamondbacks or the Orioles, Padres,
you got to smash these bad teams.
Yeah.
Yep. You got to beat them.
Their margin for error is so thin that if they don't go 4-2 minimum against mm-hmm. these teams, then it's a non-starter. Charlie is in Bethpage. What's up, Charlie?
Hey, boys. Welcome back. How was your vacation? Good?
Great. Thanks, Charlie. What's on your mind?
Well, you know what? You get all pumped up. Like, beginning of the year, the Mets just shot me down. I was ready to get done with the season. And we get back into it. Then we go out to Seattle, lay an egg. Now, I know Seattle's a good team, but we got to take one of those games that can't get swept. So, now, if they don't go 5-1 against these two next crap teams, I'm going to get real upset.
How about be competitive in one against Seattle?
Oh, please. It was terrible. I mean, the bats just disappeared. They had the one game, they're killing the ball. The ball's flying out of Colorado. And then now we go to Seattle, and we can't get a hit. We can't get a run. And it's depressing now. I'm thinking of my father, 83rd birthday this Wednesday.
I mean, Charlie, you got to at least take solace in the fact here that Randy Johnson is really good, and so is King Felix. Oh, they didn't pitch this weekend. I'm sorry.
Yeah, right. Yeah. I mean, I don't think they would have fared any better. Hey, you could joke about it now. That pitching staff might be the one to put you guys out.
Oh, man. Listen, I'll tell you what. I don't do Yankees later. Rodon, he wasn't amazing, but he keeps grinding out some wins. Going to finish 17, 18 wins. Yeah.
Did they give him a gold medal for that five-inning heroic performance?
He battled.
Oh, yeah, yeah. What a warrior-like performance for Cole.
Hey, Gerrit Cole did flash, though. Yeah. He did flash some good stuff.
Yeah. No, I mean, look, the Yankees are winning some games. Still, to me, there are concerns. And we'll get to the Yankees. I want to do football when we come back as well, work them in. So next hour, we'll do a little bit of a mix. We'll continue with your Met calls as well.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
Testaverde will take the snap, go to one knee. This game is over. The Jets lock up their first playoff appearance since 1991 on a 21-16 victory over the Miami Dolphins.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the Free Odyssey app.
Turning point of the game contest, Wendy's, the official hamburger of the New York Yankees. Be the first caller to correctly identify yesterday's turning point of the game at 866-540-WFAN. That's 866-540-9326. And you'll receive two pairs of tickets to a Yankee 2024 regular season game. It's all from your flagship station for New York Yankees baseball, The Fan. All right, BT, so if the Mets, we'll get to the Yankees in a little bit. I want to definitely get into some football here.
Mm-hmm.
If the Mets do not overtake the Braves, I know you're saying it's more than just the Braves, but for now, you can't look behind you. I mean, they got to look in front of them. Braves are a half game in front of the Mets right now.
Yep.
If the Mets are not at least two games in front of them come next Monday a week, then I think I'd give up on a postseason spot, or at least catching the Braves. So the Mets have, starting tomorrow, three with the A's at Citi Field, three with the Marlins. The Braves in San Francisco starting tonight for four.
Okay. That's a tough spot.
Yeah, and that's then three in Anaheim against the Angels.
Who have given everybody a little trouble here lately. Little Mets, little Yankees.
So the West Coast, the dreaded West Coast trip. Mets just got off of their first one. They have another one, I think, in a couple of weeks.
Yeah, they do.
But the Braves, who were struggling against the Rockies, four with the Giants. And by the way, this is where the Mets, like, they really need to go 5-1 minimum over these six games, because then you pick up games on either Atlanta or San Francisco, or potentially both. But those two teams beating each other or playing each other for four games is going to help the Mets. And then, like I said, with the Angels. So what do you think here? Like, give me what you think the Mets would go over the next six against the A's and Marlins.
I think they'll go 4-2.
Ooh, that's not good enough.
I think they'll go 4-2. I really think the season is right after that. You look at this, and we're kind of jumping around with a lot of teams is important to me. Like, if you can't beat the A's and the Marlins at least 4 out of 6 times at home after coming off the road, what are we doing here?
Yeah, no, we're not.
I'll
tell you what we're doing. Yankees and football. That's what we're doing.
That's true. That it's just the Mets. We're kind of suspending the reality for a little bit. But after the six games here, so they've got three with Baltimore. Then they've got four at San Diego.
The three of Baltimore where?
City.
Okay.
And then four at San Diego and three at Arizona. So, I mean, you're talking about I know the Orioles aren't playing great lately, but their talent base is very high. You got the Orioles for three, San Diego for four, and the Diamondbacks for three. That's the season.
That could be the nail on the coffin.
That's the season. I don't want to quite put it that way, Sal. But,
well, it could be. So
it could be.
I'm going to say the Mets are going to go 5-1.
Or it could spur them to heights that nobody saw coming.
Yeah.
I mean, one thing I'm not going to do is I'm not going to take an empty shot at these Mets because they deserve better.
Well, and that's kind of the way that I started the show, by saying that they've earned the right to, you know, be given the benefit of the doubt as far as being resilient and fighting. 4-6 is nothing. Like, they'll be fine. They're right there.
It happens to everybody.
So before we get to that rough stretch, let's just focus on these six games here. You said 4-2. I'm going to say, I mean, look, who cares about the prediction here, but they need to go 5-1. That to me is what, if the Mets want to be a playoff team, they need to go 5-1 against the A's and the Marlins. And I do think they bounce back. So let's just say that they go 5-1 here. What do you think the Braves do in San Fran for 4 and then against
probably
the Angels?
Probably split. It's an interesting ballpark.
And then what about the Angels?
Angels are a tough team to read. I don't think they're very
Braves
good.
Braves get of three or they get one?
Yeah, I mean, Braves don't look good enough to anoint them 2 out of 3 anywhere right now, quite frankly. I'm 2 out of 3 either way, flip a coin. Braves can win 2. No, nobody's getting swept.
So let's say worst case for Mets or best case for Braves, the Braves go 4-3.
Okay.
Over that.
Okay.
And the Mets go 5-1. They're still going to be in front of them.
Yeah.
I mean, and that's kind of what you need. Now, that wouldn't be, I'd rather Mets go 5-1, Braves go 3-4, and now you're talking about a little cushion in front of the Braves.
I hear you. All I know is, you know, you end up with Milwaukee, you end up with Atlanta in the penultimate series, the series before that, mid-ish late September, with Philly.
I know, but there's a long way to go.
I know, but I'm just saying, like, that's in reality, I know we fixate on what happened out west in these next six games against bad teams, but I think the Mets team, I don't think they're good enough at all to get any sort of separation.
Right.
And I don't think that they're, I believe that they're tough enough to avoid complete implosion. So the reality is those final 10 games against pretty good teams probably determine everything.
But if you do break it down into sections, if before we can worry about the Padres and Diamondbacks or the Orioles, Padres.
You gotta smash these bad teams.
Yeah.
Yep, you gotta beat them.
Their margin for error is so thin that if they don't go 4-2 minimum against these teams, then it's a non-starter. Charlie is in Bethpage. What's up, Charlie?
Hey, boys. Welcome back. How was your vacation? Good?
Great. Thanks, Charlie. What's on your mind?
Well, you know what? You get all pumped up. Like, beginning of the year, the Mets just shot me down. I was ready to get done with the season. And we get back into it. Then we go out to Seattle and lay an egg. Now, I know Seattle's a good team, but we got to take one of those games that can't get swept. So now, if they don't go 5-1 against these two next crap teams, I'm going to get real upset.
How about be competitive in one against Seattle?
Oh, please. It was terrible. I mean, the bats just disappeared. They had the one game they're killing the ball. The ball's flying out of Colorado. And then now we go to Seattle, and we can't get a hit. We can't get a run. And it's depressing now. I'm thinking my father, 83rd birthday this Wednesday.
I mean, Charlie, you got to at least take solace in the fact here that Randy Johnson is really good, and so is King Felix. Oh, they didn't pitch this weekend. I'm sorry.
Yeah, right. Yeah. I mean, I don't think they would have fared any better. Hey, you could joke about it now. Yeah. That pitching staff might be the one to put you guys out.
Oh, man. Listen, I'll tell you what. I don't do Yankees later. Rodon, he wasn't amazing, but he keeps grinding out some wins. Going to finish 17, 18 wins. Yeah.
Did they give him a gold medal for that 5-inning heroic performance?
He battled.
Oh, yeah, yeah. What a warrior-like performance for Cole.
Hey, Garrett Cole did flash, though. Yeah. He did flash some good stuff.
Yeah. No, I mean, look, the Yankees are winning some games. Still, to me, there are concerns. And we'll get to the Yankees. I want to do football when we come back as well, work them in. So next hour, we'll do a little bit of a mix. We'll continue with your Met calls as well.